discouraged? Why do the shadows come?
Let's find a Bible and go to the Gospel of Luke 10. Such an honor to be here, and thank you, Pastor, for the invite. I've enjoyed listening to your men, learning about your ministry and your ministry team here. The Lord is certainly blessing it. My name is Josh Jackson. I pastor the Grace Baptist Church in Newtonsville, Ohio. About an hour and 15 minutes from here, but so honored to be here. Luke 10, I'm not gonna keep you long, and so let's jump right into the Word of God. Luke 10, and we're gonna look at a well-known passage. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word in Luke chapter 10. We're gonna look at verse 25, and then we're gonna read several verses, so I do encourage you to follow along with us. And it says in verse 25, "And behold, a certain lawyer stood up, tempted Jesus, saying, 'Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?' And he said unto him, 'What is written in the law? How readest thou?' And he answered and said, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all of thy heart, with all of thy soul, with all of thy strength, with all of thy mind, thy neighbor as thyself.' And he, Jesus, said unto him, 'Thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live.' And he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, 'And who is my neighbor?' And Jesus answered and said, 'A certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment and wounded him and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance there came a certain reached that way, and when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. And likewise, a Levite, when he was at that place, came and looked on him and passed by on the other side. But a certain Samaritan, as he journeyed, came where he was, and when he saw him, he had compassion on him, and went to him and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine, and set him on his own beast and brought him to an inn and took care of him. And on the morrow when he departed, he took out 2 pence and gave them to the host and said, take care of him, and whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Which now of these thinkest thou was neighbor unto him that fell among thieves? And he said, he that showeth mercy unto him. Then said Jesus unto him, go and do thou likewise. And just for a few moments, I want to speak on this thought. Who is my neighbor? Who is my neighbor? Let's bow our heads. Lord Jesus, thank you for this day. A day that has been set aside in this schedule that we might be in the house of God. Amen. Lord, we've heard some wonderful messages out of the Word of God, challenging us in a lot of different ways. Lord, preparing us for later on this month, Lord, when they have a longer style of revival. But Lord, as we jump into the Word of God right now, Lord, help me to empty myself of sin and self. And Lord, fill me with thy Holy Spirit power. Lord, I want to help your people. I want to help this church. So Lord, use me. Give us listening ears. Lord, I know it's been a long day. I know no doubt people are getting tired. So Lord, help us to pay attention on purpose. Lord, that we might not miss what you have for us. Lord, we ask this in Jesus' name, amen. We are looking at a well-known story, and from this well-known story, I want to help you and challenge you. It's a challenge to me. If you're taking notes, let's jump into it. Number one, notice the interaction that takes place here in Luke 10. The interaction. In Luke 10, we find Jesus sending his apostles out two by two, house by house, and he wanted them to share the good news that Jesus saves. And this is where we receive our pattern for door-to-door soul-winning visitation. It literally comes from Jesus. In the process of this outreach effort, our passage tells us that there was a certain lawyer who desired to tempt Jesus, to trick Jesus. And he asked Jesus how he could inherit eternal life. Jesus knew his deceitful heart and his deceitful question, and so he told them that he had to keep the whole law of God. And if you know anything about the law of God, keeping it perfectly is impossible to do. This law wasn't given. The law of God wasn't necessarily given to be kept, but to convict us of this fact that we cannot keep it. This religious lawyer must have known the law of God because he quoted the greatest commandment of loving God with all of our heart, our soul, our mind, our strength, and loving our neighbor as our own self. And Jesus responded to him, you are right, now go and live it. But here is the issue, we can't. We will fail and fall short every single time. And the lawyer was educated enough to understand this fact. And so he tried to justify himself by saying, now who's my neighbor? You see, he understood that he could not love God with all of his heart, with all of his soul, with all of his mind. He could not love his neighbor as his own self 24/7. For 365 days of the year, for the rest of his life, he knew that this was impossible. In church, it is still impossible. In his attempt to justify himself, he discovered that he was just a sinner in need of a Savior. And might each of us come to that conclusion in our life. We all fall short of God's perfection. We all need a Savior. And I understand that it's Saturday. I understand this is now the sixth service. And I understand who is probably here. But can I just say I've been raised for over 20 years. And you know what I've discovered? I've discovered that there are a lot of religious out. There are a lot of religious folks out there who do not know Jesus. Can I just say this lawyer, he knew the word of God. He knew the greatest commandment. I just recently, a couple months back, spoke at a men's meeting. And as I was going to prepare, guy ahead of me said, "Hey, I just want you to know these men are seasoned and these men know the word of God. And they need something a little bit deeper." And I thought, I'm just going to give what God gave to me to give these people. And so I gave them the word of God. Following that service, four of these seasoned men accepted Jesus Christ as their Lord and Savior. One of them had been attending church for over 30 years. Religion doesn't save you, friend. A relationship with Jesus Christ. And you would be shocked. You would be shocked how many believers, how many church attenders are not believers. They may know information, but salvation isn't knowledge of the head. It is acceptation of the heart.
Good preaching, brother.
Go a little bit farther, and we're going to look at the illustration. Notice the illustration. In response to the lawyer's question of who is my neighbor, Jesus gives him a little parable. You say, what's a parable? It is an earthly story with a heavenly meaning. Jesus spoke in parables or in stories so that you and I could better understand biblical truth. Can I break it down for it? It's because we're stupid. Jesus understood this. That's why he calls us sheep. Sheep are not the intelligent ones. Jesus tells us that a Jewish man was going down the road, headed to the city of Jerusalem. And while on this journey, thieves jumped out. They jumped him, they beat him, they left him on the roadside half dead. The Bible says they just left him there to die. This was a well-traveled down road, and a priest comes by, and he sees this wounded man from a distance. He saw him laying there, and he makes the decision to cross the street and pass him by. Then a Levite, a man of God, walked by, saw him. The Bible says that he even came and looked down upon him. And he too makes the decision to cross the street and to go on with his daily life. What a sad account that is. Jesus then describes a Samaritan man. The Jews despised the Samaritans. They considered them half-breeds. Yet it was a Samaritan man who saw this wounded man. And the Bible says that this Samaritan man had what we need. He had compassion. Compassion. I was watching VeggieTales once with my kids, and VeggieTales said that compassion is an emotional feeling when something bad happens to you and bad happens to somebody else that you feel terrible about it. I hate to contradict the doctrine of VeggieTales. But compassion is not a feeling. Compassion is not an attitude. Compassion is an action. The book of Jude tells us that some that have compassion, that they make a difference. And when they make this difference, it is because their compassion is on display. Our passage tells us that he went to this wounded man, he wrapped up his wounds, and how he put him on his own beast, then he carried him to the nearest inn where he stayed overnight. And he cared for this man. But church, it doesn't stop there, because the Samaritan man then paid the innkeeper's 2 pence, which is 2 days' wages, and asked him to care for this man in his absence. And if there was any extra care needed, any extra charges, that he would stop back by on his way and pay that himself. Man, I love this Bible story. It's one of my favorites that Jesus tells, because it's so moving, and we're going to talk about this. It is so convicting. Church, what a testimony this Samaritan man left for us as believers, and may we learn much from his example. And thirdly, and finally, but don't put your shoes on yet, notice the instruction. Jesus concludes this parable, and he asks the lawyer a question. And I want to ask you that same question today. Who do you think out of these three men that passed by, which one of them showed themselves to be a good neighbor, a good believer, a good Christian? The obvious answer is the Good Samaritan, but I actually love the way the lawyer answers it. He said, the man who showed mercy. And then Jesus responded, well, yes. Now go and do likewise. In our churches, in our lives. But before revival hits out there, it has to hit in here. Amen. And before it hits in here, it has to hit in here. And if it hits in here, then it can hit in here. And if it hits in here, then it can hit out there. Amen. And my heart's desire is, in just a moment, after the message, that the Holy Spirit of God will accomplish what I cannot do and prick your heart. And speak to your heart. And change your heart. And that we would leave here and not be a hearer of the word, but we would leave here and be a doer. Amen. Because then we can make an impact. And that is what I want, and I know for a fact that is what God wants. What is amazing this morning about this passage is that I'll be the first to admit that I am convicted about how I feel about this amazing testimony that this Samaritan man was. I'm convicted. What we need in this world is more Samaritan men. What we need in our churches is more Samaritan men. But let's talk about the first two men. Like the first men, so many of us, I think, are experts at staying in our lane. And we do everything in our power to cross over to the next lane just to avoid the reality of hurting people and our responsibility to them. I almost think our view is that if we do not see it, then I can't be held accountable for my lack of actions towards them. But friend, that is not so. It does not take a spiritual magnifying glass to go out there and find hurting people. They're all around us. They're at our workplace. They're at our schools. They are at the store. They're on the street. They're at the church. They're in our homes. We can act like we don't see them, and we can act like we don't have to do anything about that need. But friend, God knows our heart. And people say that so often, and that's such a dangerous statement. God does know your heart. And God knows that he has blessed you in such an amazing way. We just sang a moment ago about God's goodness. And God wants to take that goodness that he has given to you, and he wants you to share it with someone else. But if we don't see it, we don't have to do it, right? I think we choose spiritual blindness almost. Well, I just don't see it, Brother Josh. I just don't see it. You do see it. You do. We're on day 125 of 2024. Did you know that? Day 125. How many hoarding people have you helped in 2024? You say, I would, I just didn't see them. You saw them. But maybe you saw them with your eyes, and you didn't see them with your heart. I love the ministry of Jesus because so often he looked out on the crowd, and the Bible says he had compassion on them. Compassion. We now come to this second man, and I think this second man is worse than the first man. This second man comes up, and the Bible says that he came and he looked down upon the man. The guy saw him from a distance, the first guy, and then crossed the street. He saw him from a distance, came up, looked down upon the man who is half dead. He looked down and said, that's interesting. And he stepped back, made the decision to cross the street, act like he didn't see him either, and kept down his way. The Bible doesn't make clear why he didn't stay and help. But can I make two reasonable suggestions? It's not Bible. It's two reasonable suggestions. First, he could have considered helping at first. That's why he came and looked. But he wasn't considering helping because the person was in need. He was considering helping because he needed to soothe his own conscience. He saw it now. I guess I need to do something about it. You say, why do you think that? I say this because nowhere in Scripture does it ever say that this second man showed any type of compassion. He saw the man, and nowhere does it say, and when he saw him, he had compassion. Second of all, he could have considered helping at first, but when he looked down at the man, the situation was a little bit more messier than he thought it was going to be from a distance. Wow. Listen to me, helping people can be messy.
Amen.
It's not easy. And the people who are a mess, if you introduce them to Jesus, they can turn that mess into an amazing message. But so oftentimes we look down upon the mess and say, ooh, that's too messy for me. That's too much time. It's too much effort. I don't want to get involved in that. It requires too much work. Listen to me, there's a lady named JoJo Moffat. She speaks at a lot of ladies' conferences, and I was listening to her once, and she made a statement, and I love the statement that she made. I've never forgotten it. I heard it as a teenager, and I've never forgotten it. She said, if you are not inconvenienced, then you're not helping anyone.
Wow.
Helping someone is always inconvenient. And most of us don't want to be inconvenienced. And that's why there's a lot of people out there not getting helped who needs it. It's never convenient to be a help and a blessing to someone. And on this day, it was inconvenient for this Levite. But those are the negative lessons that we can learn. Let's look at the positive ones and then we'll go home. Hey, church, here is the lesson. Number one, notice the compassion that the Samaritan man had. Until we have compassion, then we will not make a difference. We live in a world full of believers that too often times lacks compassion. We have churches full of believers that too often times lacks compassion. I'm not up here to judge, because I'm asking the Lord to break my heart. And I'm asking God to break your heart so that we can help people, so that we can lead them to Jesus, who can truly change their life. The compassion. Second of all, notice the care of the Samaritan man. I love what he did. He carefully wraps up his wounds. He carefully places him on his own beast, which means he walked the rest of the way to the hotel. He carefully cared for him overnight. I love that part of the story. He didn't just drop him off at the inn and left. He stayed overnight with the gentleman. But that's not it. He went a step farther. He told the innkeeper, hey, I have to leave. I wish I could stay, but I have to leave. Here's money. Please take care of him. And when I come back this road, when I'm heading back home, if there's any more cops, if there's any more care that he needs, hey, I'll pay for it. Just take care of this man. I've made this statement to my church so many times, and I wish my people would catch it. I wish every child of God would catch this. Listen to this statement. People do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. People do not care how much you know until they know how much you care. I think one of the issues with the Baptist church, our faith is for so long we started telling people what we knew, but people didn't care how much we knew because they didn't care how much, they didn't know how much we cared. Would someone look at your life? Would someone look at your life and say that person truly cares? If Jesus told a story today, would he use you as an example, as the Samaritan man? He cared. We need more of God's people to start caring. Caring is not internal, it's external. May we care. He had compassion, he cared and thoughtfully, and finally, and we'll wrap it up, finally, would you notice the cost of the Samaritan man? I cannot mention the cost without once again highlighting that helping people takes time. The number one thing that I care about in my own personal life, not my relationship with my Lord and Savior, not my relationship with my wife and my children. The number one thing that I care about in my life is time. Time's valuable. The Bible says to redeem the time. We heard a little bit ago, hey, what is this life? It is but a vapor that appeareth for a little time and then vanisheth away. I'm 40 years of age. If you go back just a little over a year ago, you are going to find me in the ICU of the Bethesda Hospital. I was there for 34 days. 85% chance that I'm supposed to be dead today. 85% chance. I had surgery after surgery. I, by the grace of God, he allowed me to live. I'm so thankful for that 15%. I am. And what the doctor told me is what happened the first time. It could happen a second time. And if it happens a second time, I'm not going to make it to the hospital. I was like, well, thanks for giving me that encouraging news. Just give me a little bit of hope. And God takes me home to heaven. Hey, that's a good journey as well. But until that happens, or if it never happens and I live the rest of my life like I am right now, hey, I am going to cherish each and every single moment. And so time's really important to me. But are we willing to sacrifice it to help someone in need? Are we willing to sacrifice it to help someone who is hurting? He gave his time, but he gave his treasure. It cost him financially to help that man. At least 2 pences. At least 2 full days of labor. And can I remind you, you say, well, that doesn't sound like that much. Can I remind you that's more than what the Levite gave? That's more than what the priest gave. And there's a different story of a lady who gave 2 mites, and 2 mites is a whole lot less than 2 pence. Can I just say this? God made much of those 2 pints, and I believe God is making much of these 2 pences. Why? Because little is much when God is in it. It's not the amount, it's the sacrifice. And I love his sacrifice because he said, hey, if I come back and it costs a little bit more, hey, whatever it costs, I will pay it. I just want to help that gentleman. You say, why would he do such a thing? It's because of that's where his heart was. The gospel of Jesus puts it like this: where your heart is, that's where you're going to find your treasure. Amen. Do you want to help people? It's going to cost you time. It's going to cost you treasure. But neither of those are really a big deal to you. Because you don't care. You just want to do whatever it takes to help someone. Hey, church, I wonder what Assurance Baptist Church could accomplish for the cause of Christ. Amen. If we had more people who had compassion. If we had more people who truly, listen to this, who truly care. Talk's cheap. Back it up with action.
Amen.
And who are willing to pay whatever necessary cost there is. Amen. I wonder what God could do with you. I wonder what God could do with me if we possessed these things. You know, the book of Ephesians says it like this, that God can do, and we always quote the first half, we don't quote the second half, that God can do exceedingly, abundantly, above all we ever ask or think. How does he do that? The verse goes on. According to the power that walketh in us. How does God walk? You know how God walks? He uses us. Would you let God use you this morning? This afternoon? Made the same mistake. Who has afternoon services? Lord, would you use me in this fashion? Would you use us in this fashion? This afternoon, would you ask God to break your heart for people? Lord, break me in such a way that people can see that I care. I would rather be guilty of loving someone too much than ever be guilty of not loving them enough. Help me to care and help me to to invest my time, my treasure, and things that matter. Say, what matters? Lives. Souls. People. Let's be like the Samaritan. There's a lot of neighbors out there. A lot of neighbors. Let's show them the love of Jesus.
Amen.
Just bow our heads, close your eyes. If you're sitting in this room and you've been playing the spiritual game and you're lost, I guarantee you there's some people here who could share the gospel with you and you could nail down your salvation. But maybe you are a child of God and maybe God's saying something else to you. There's an altar of God up here. I would invite you to come. Lord Jesus, once again, I'm asking you to do what I cannot do. Lord, reach where I cannot reach. Change where I cannot change. Make us into what only you want us to be, for your good, for your glory. The altar of God is open, friend.